over. Man, that's something now. Well, I'd like a dose of whatever you're taking. Anyhow, I've been talking to the Lord about that all this time, and don't even need it. Oh, well, that's all right. Well, I'll let the Lord know right away. And so, no. Yeah, listen, I'm telling you right now. Well, hey, that's good. God bless you. I just wanted to ask about that, and so there we go. Good enough. All right, take your Bible, if you will, the book of Psalm, chapter number 55. It's good to be saved, to be able to come to the house of God and to worship God in spirit and truth. Are you happy you're saved? Are you happy you know the Lord? Then you ought to tell your face about it. I mean, my word. I'm telling you right now, I'm glad to be saved and hell-proof and heaven-bound, and no doubt about that. All right, chapter 55 of the book of Psalms, you're able to stand, look in verse 21. Verse 21, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. And his words were softer than oil, and yet they were drawn swords. And cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Our Father, we ask your blessing upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be once again in the house of God. We pray your blessings upon these that we've mentioned in the way of special prayer requests. May, Lord, you, Lord, give grant unto them thy mercy and grace and healing hand, and we'll say thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. Excuse me. I want to preach a little while tonight on, but war was in his heart. In this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out is that we live in a world that's full of the devil and full of devils. And let me tell you right now, probably the worst devil you ever met in your life was just around the corner. It might have been with one of your children. It might have been with one of your grandchildren. It could have been down even at the house of God. And let me tell you right now, he doesn't make any difference. I tell you the story about a young preacher one time that said, I like to go to church because I believe when you shut the front door with the devil, that's as far as he can go. He can't come on inside. Well, he hadn't been pastoring long enough to know it yet. I've seen him come in, sit down, take part of the service, and try to take it apart. And let me tell you, make no mistake about it, he's a very ruthless, courageous, defiant, godless, wicked devil against the Lord and the people of God. Do you realize, though, that in light of all of that, the best is yet to come? You've had some good times, haven't you? Let me tell you right now, you've enjoyed some good times. I know you've had some ups and downs and heartaches, heartbreak, this and that. But thank God it ain't all that. You've had some good times. You've had some good times. But let me tell you, the best is yet to come. I want to tell you something else on the other side of that, is that you've had some bad times, but you ain't seen the worst you're going to. Now, I know that that doesn't sound good, and you're thinking, oh, my. But that's true. I got to tell you right now is we've had a lot of happiness. We've had some heartbreak and heartache. And let me say to you, is that I'm hoping the worst is over for us, but I'm afraid it's not going to be. It's not going to be. And let me say that when you begin to look into this Bible passage, is that you'll find out that evil men and seducers, the Bible said, wax worse and worse. They're deceiving and being deceived, and they will until the day of Jesus Christ that comes again. Every day that goes by gets a little bit worse. You know, there's a passage, and I'll let you turn there. Don't lose your text. But in the book of James, in chapter 1, when you look over there in the passage there, here's what he says, verse 22. In that passage, he says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, just because you came to church, don't you deceive yourself because of the fact that you heard the buzzing of the lips, but you don't have a clue what the preacher had to say. And you went away and forgot what manner of person that you are. I got to tell you, whenever you're looking at that, is that, you know, everything that the world, everything that we've got, you know, is kind of backwards. Boy, I can tell you right now is every time I come in, every time I had to stay home, been a couple of times, and I can't imagine anybody wanting to stay at home and watch TV preaching, except for the benefit that you can pause it, go get you something to drink, go to the restroom if you need to, and nobody's looking at you but all that. But everything's backwards. I notice is that when I'm watching it, that this right here is over on that side, and all you can see is that pretty red bird. I thought, God bless Miss Julie and that red bird. And at least, but why are they on the wrong side of the church? I guess if you're in the house of God, you're on the right side, and it don't matter if you're on the right or the left. But I just noticed is that that's a whole lot the way the world is. But if they can't see clearly through the lens that they got about what God's trying to do, I'm going to tell you, you better be on the right side of this thing with the Lord. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, here's what ends up happening is that if you look into it, see, the word is not for our entertainment, but for our obedience. We learn something from God. If you will leave here and you've heard something from God, or God smote your heart about an area of your life, and you leave and you just ignore it, it don't really matter or not, you're a foolish person. And boy, let me tell you, I'm hoping God does not use the worst to get your attention. But he can. Yes, he does. Notice, if you will, back in our text, that whenever we begin to look into it, that the Bible said over there, Psalms 55, and about verse number 21 and 2 is where we're looking at. But over there in the passages is that the whole idea is that we ought to preach the word and be instant in season and out of season when you read that chapter. Now, here's the reason why that we ought to preach the word. It's the power of God and the salvation. The gospel is to everyone that will believe it. You know, there's a lot of people not going to believe it. I've had people, you know, that'll try to, that I knew that were living out of wedlock and this and that, and I didn't want to try to browbeat them and all of that. But it's something about if people know you're a Christian, especially if they know you're a preacher. There's something about they always want to make you assured that they are prepared to go and ready to meet their Maker. I want to ask them every now and again, well, what about that man you're shacking up with? Is he prepared too? Or what about that woman you're shacking up with? Is she ready to go too? And what about you getting the picture? That's the reason why I'm not ecumenical. I don't believe in mixing all religions together, is because some of that world that is out there, you know, listen, they're foot loose, fancy free, doing as they please. Make no mistake about it, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, is an act of obedience. Here's what preaching does is it'll save your soul. Not only that, it'll get you settled on the direction that you're going. Not only that, it'll strengthen you in the inner man. I want to tell you something. We just need more preaching of the word in the world that we're living in. Number two, in our text that we're looking at, here's what preaching does. It'll help your prayer life. Did you know that? In fact is, you'll find that it'll make you be able to pray in a biblical manner. You ever hear somebody praying, you can tell they didn't have a clue what God said about that subject. They weren't praying in a biblical manner. Whenever you pray, you ought to pray in a biblical manner. Listen, our prayers are directed unto God. We're addressing the Heavenly Father, and we're doing it only in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say to you, preaching will help you pray in a biblical manner, which is in accordance to the blessed word of the Lord. Now, there's a passage that I'm going to read to you, and it's over there in the book of Philippians. If you'd like to turn, you can. But I'm talking about being able to pray and being able to function in a manner that pleases and magnifies the name of the Lord. And notice, if you will, please, is that whenever you're praying, do you want God to listen to you? Well, the psalmist did, and we didn't read it, but the very first verse of it, he said, give ear to my prayer, and O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. He wanted God to hear him. I'm sure that whenever you pray, I know whenever I pray, I want God to hear me. Yes, I mean, I'm not just trying, well, Lord, I forgot I got to get a prayer worked in here pretty quick. And that's just a tradition, a buzzing of the lips that doesn't get anywhere. But when I'm praying, I'd like God to be able to hear me. And if you've never prayed so earnestly that you're just begging God to hear you, God will bring you to a place one of these days that you shall and that you will. And if you're thinking, well, you know, I did, and I prayed with all of my heart, and nothing seemed to happen. Well, yeah, God's doing something with you to let you know in his time. See? in the lesson you're looking at, let me tell you, if you want God to listen to you when you pray, you'd better listen to him when he speaks. See it? How'd you like one of these days God to holler out and say, you didn't listen to me whenever I was speaking to you through the word of the Lord? I'm not listening to you while you're buzzing your lips back toward me. Notice, if you will, please, in Philippians in chapter number 4, verse number 6, there's a passage there we ought to look at. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. Whatever your requests are tonight, what are your requests? Did you notice that it said plural requests? We ought to have more than one thing we're looking to God for. It's more than just, and this is all right for kids and all that, and I lay me down to sleep and pray the Lord my soul to keep and all that business there. If I should die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. I mean, that's a good, simple, childlike, learning prayer and all that business there. God is great and God is good. And let us thank him for our food and all that. Well, that's one thing. We're thanking him for sleep and thanking him for food. But let me tell you something. Our request ought to be multiple. There's many things that I can't do myself. Let me tell you, there's the grace of God, the mercy of God, the gospel of God. Let me ask you this right here. When's the last time some of these little boys in here, they know how to pray, take up an offering, doing this and that, and they're not yet saved by the grace of God? They've never come to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. Some of these little girls that are singing, that are nice, and that are learning how to grow up, be quite ladylike, and all of that, but they're not born again into the world. They're born in sin, and they'll have to come to know the Lord. I hope your request, plural, involves, and Lord, speak to their heart. Then I want you to notice in the lesson that we're looking at back in your text is that not only will preaching get you ready to pray, Ryan, it'll get you prepared to take a stand. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you right now, is that it'll help you to be able to face the enemy. And let me tell you, he's a ruthless person to deal with. And if you'll exalt the name of the Lord, it'll cause you to praise God even in the face of adversity. And that's exactly what preaching and praying will do, is get you prepared. I notice, if you will, please, in our text that we're looking at, in verse number 10, Psalm 55, verse number 10, here's what he said. Day and night they go about upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, and then I would have hidden myself from him. But it was thou, a man, my equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked in the house of God in company. I want to tell you something, is that you'll find that the enemy's all around. He's in your life. Sometimes he may be in your wife. I know he's in your husband. I can remember it all these years. Every now and again I've had a couple of, you know, I don't understand him. He just acts like, you know, he's never mad, he's never upset, he's never unhappy about anything. Well, it's coming, sister. Enjoy this good time while you can. She spoke in delight until the devil showed up. Oh, man. I want to say that when you begin to look into it, is that the devil is around. Listen, it's not only in your life, but you're going to find out. We grow up and we can see it and some of the obstacles and this and that. And not only that, but whenever you get married. What was it the old boy said, you know? He said, they told me, he said, man, you better watch for the devil out there. He's lurking everywhere. And he said, I went to school. I got out of school and I didn't see him. And said, then I got into the service and I went in through all, did all my tours in service. I didn't see him. I looked for him everywhere, even in foreign soil. And then I got married and found him. Why do you think the divorce rate's so high in the world and much less in America? Some 50% plus. I'll tell you the reason why. Is the devil hates for you to have harmony and a happy home. Not only that, but what about your family? You know, sooner or later, in this raising bringing up children in the love and nurture and admonition of the Lord, that's easier to quote than it is to do. Some of the biggest heartache you will ever have in your life that you've not had yet is when they get big enough to start dating. Somebody's now, oh yeah, I can just hear you now. Well, I guarantee you right now, he don't treat her exactly the way she ought to be treated. Oh, I wasn't talking about anybody here. I didn't realize what I was talking about. Huh? Let me tell you what the other side of the family said. I don't think she treats him the way that he ought to be treated. See that? And that's the reason being is because the devil goes to try. And let me tell you something right now. You know, me and my wife, we've been married now for nearly 100 years, a little over a hundred. I tell you exactly how long, but you know, it's the first time I've been to church when I was this old. I thought, Lord, let me get over this where I can go to church one more time. I mean, since I turned 72, I hadn't even been to church. I mean, my word, if I'm going to get to be able to watch the Dallas Cowboys and listen to Brother Darrell over a little old telephone of a thing and over a TV deal right here. And boy, it's just sometimes it's just hard to get your eyes. You know what I'm talking about. Do you realize and do you know that, boy, when the devil comes lurking around your family, now I'm going to tell you, you'll lose sight of what anybody else has ever said, anybody else has ever thought. I want to say to you that, if you will, that down at the house of God, here's a man, he said, listen, I got down to the house of God, and it just blindsided right there. And let me tell you, that's the reason why in verse 17 that it set him to pray. And he says, evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. When's the last time that you prayed in a manner to where that it was loud enough for your family to hear you, much less God? I'll evening and morning and noon pray and cry aloud. Make my request known unto God. I got to tell you something. No wonder Daniel, while he was in bondage over there in Babylon and carrying him into bondage, remember that? Boy, he had opened up the window 3 times a day, just like aforetime, and praying, a praying man. Now, independent Baptists, you know, they may not be praying at all. And then the government comes up and says you can't pray, and they get in a demonstrate and protest and all that. I'm going to show them. I'm going to show them. My word, you ain't been praying all these years. Now you're going to stand in line with a picket sign and try to show them. I want to know what you've been doing. I want you to know what you've been doing long. Daniel wasn't waiting for a big show. Here's what he said. Evening, morning, and noon will I pray, David said. Daniel did that 3 times a day. He'd open the windows toward Jerusalem and pray and talk to God and exalt his name. Notice that, if you will, that here in this lesson, there's a sweet talker. In our verse that we've read, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter. Huh? And next time somebody tells you, y'all preacher's too rough. Oh, you want somebody sweet, do you? I got to tell you, he may be setting you up for the kill. Notice, if you will, that whenever he said in verse number 22, cast that burden upon the Lord. You know the reason why that we ought to cast our burden on him, don't you? There's stability in him. Let me tell you, there's security in him. While hell is raging all around us, he can calm the storm. I'm going to give you one passage. We're going to close, and it's in the book of Mark, if I remember right, in chapter number 4. And over there in the book of Mark in chapter 4. I want to tell you, his words are smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ is on the throne. And I hope that I hope that tonight you know him in the free pardon of sin. Chapter 4, verse 39 in the book of Mark. Now here they are going across to the other side, other little ships with them. A great storm of wind has arisen. I was telling Brother Joe outside there the other day at Walmart, and the wind was blowing, I don't know, 10 to 15 miles an hour. I said, I bet you could throw a rattle trap 250 yards if you had that much line on. Well, this is a tempestuous storm, and here's what he says. Finally, he's asleep back there, verse 38, on a pillow. They come to wake him up. Want to know, don't you care that we're perishing? In verse number 39, here's the text. I hope you'll grab it dear to your heart. And he arose, talking about Jesus, he arose, rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now, I'll tell you right now is, I don't know what kind of turmoil you've been through or what you're going through or will go through. Here's what I do know. He can calm the storm of your life by speaking, peace, be still, unto your soul. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. And I want to praise you that thou art God, and beside thee there is none else. I pray your blessings now upon these requests. And Lord, the desires you've given us to reach out to others, for the missionaries you've allowed us to be able to support, and those that shall come. We pray that now that you move upon us and within us, love us, Lord. We thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. In Jesus' name we pray.